Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I think I'm going to get a robot dog. I've got Sophie and I've got Fredo, and then I'm going to get a robot dog named Gizmo.
Gizmo would scare the hell out of the two regular dogs.
those robot dogs are crazy.
By the way, Lindsay's trying to adopt a dog from a shelter, and they won't call her back.
I don't get
that. Lindsay, what is the latest on that?
I've been like stalking them on social media because I realized that like I spent so much time taking care of Sam before, you know, like when he was around, that like I had this huge void in my life and in my heart. And I want another pup to take care of.
Okay, so have they responded to you at all?
I did get a message yesterday that said something like, oh, he had a meet and greet yesterday, we'll get back to you. But that's because I sent them 4 messages on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
But it took them I don't want to say 3 weeks. It's been like 2 weeks.
Now, it's a pug chihuahua mix. Would you keep his name Squishy?
I don't know. I would change that. I think I'll change it to Yoda. I want a dog named Yoda.
Oh, that's a good name for a dog.
Yeah, I like that for a dog. And he looks like Yoda.
I just want like any dog that's not like a big dog. I mean, I like pugs and I like pug mixes, and I just want a dog that I can love.
Well, he
and
looks
take
very
care
cute.
Of.
He looks very cute. If we can help you, please let us know.
Okay,
thanks. We will go to bat for you with Pet Finder.
I'm sure I need references, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Lindsay, do you know the original team that drafted Max Muncy when he was in high school?
I don't.
Indians.
Really?
Yeah, 2009. He decided that happens a lot to high school baseball players. They'll get drafted out of high school. He's from Texas. And then instead they'll decide to go to college. Yeah, they don't sign to go to college.
They drafted Tim Lincecum and he didn't sign with them.
So they know what they're doing when they know how to ID some high school players. He instead went to Baylor, and he was all Big 12 twice. But then when he reentered the draft, he got picked by the A's, and that was the beginning of his
Max Muncy is just a crazy, crazy story. Spent a couple of years in the A's organization, about 113 at bats in 2016. Batted 186 with 2 homers and 8 RBIs. Winds up with the Dodgers 2 years later. Bats 263 with 35 homers, 79 RBIs. Last year, 35 homers, 98 RBIs. Gives you a bat at first base, a bat at second base. Dodgers have the luxury of playing a power hitter at second base when they want to. An all-star this last year, just an incredible story. Dodgers have a great knack at finding these, what they call 4A players.
You're even selling the story short. The A's flat released him at the end of spring training in 2017. He was at that crossroads where a lot of major leaguers, you know, you just don't know if you should give up. And I'm sure Max went through a few sleepless nights, but he then signed less than a month later, he signed a minor league contract with the Dodgers and worked his way all the way back up. But that's the hardest decision for a pro athlete to make. When they tell you they don't want you anymore, do you give up your dream and go find something else to do, or do you hang on? And boy, I mean, look at how his life took off after the Dodgers just basically picked him up. Anybody could have had him.
Yeah. They've had a couple of these guys. I mean, a couple of these guys, you know, Muncy, Chris Taylor, guys that have, you know, hung around the minors for a few years got a cup of coffee here or there. And ultimately, Andrew Friedman and that front office identified them as targets and obviously knew exactly what they were doing. They found an absolute gem in Max Muncy, a guy who gives them a stabilizing bat in the middle of that lineup. Man, he hits a long ball. He hits a long ball.
Now, do you assume that Muncy is now entrenched at first base? Well, let's ask him. We've got Max Muncy online. And, Max, we appreciate you joining us. How are you holding up in these crazy times?
Same as everyone else, trying not to go crazy.
Right. So we were just talking about the fact that at the end of spring training in 2017, the A's released you and the Dodgers picked you up. In between, at the time of the A's, did you ever think about kind of giving up your dream of being a baseball player, or did you decide in your own head that you were just going to catch on with somebody else and give it a shot?
You know, at the time, that was the initial thought, and that was my plan, was to try and figure out how to get back into school and finish the classes that I needed and get my degree. You know, there wasn't really any thought of kind of continuing it. And then once opening day hit and I'm still sitting at home on the couch, it was, you know, when you're watching it on TV, you kind of realize, you know, how much you miss it and how much you still want to keep playing. And, you know, just over the next couple of days, just thought about it long and hard. And then it was, you know, the decision was made to kind of, you know, make some changes, and that was how it all started.
Yeah, and unbelievable that you are where you are now, coming off back-to-back 35 home run seasons. I don't know if you saw this, but Governor of Arizona has announced that Arizona is reopening on Wednesday. This is tomorrow. Major League sports can resume after May the 15th. It would seem like Dodgers and spring training are right around the corner. How are you feeling about all of it?
I mean, I hope so. It's you know, I think we're all missing it right now, and we're all ready to get going. But you know, there's a lot of things that people a lot smarter than me are trying to figure out right now, as far as, you know, the logistics of all that. And you know, until they come out with an idea, all I can do is just kind of sit at home and keep hoping that we get to start up soon.
Max, you mentioned that you were thinking about going back to Baylor. You were thinking about getting your degree. And you decided, okay, I'm not going to give up yet. I'm going to make some changes and go back. And then your career just took off. As Mason mentioned, you've had a couple of 35 home run seasons. You made it to the All-Star game, voted in by the fans. When you say changes, what was the biggest change you made?
Probably mentally. You know, just having a different mindset about the whole thing. You know, when you're at home, not playing, you realize how quickly it can end. And you know, so the biggest change I've made was mentally, just understanding that I'm still getting a chance to play baseball for a living, and there's not many people out there that get to do that, and I need to go out there and enjoy every second of it, and you know, try to just, you know, make every moment count and not take it too seriously.
Was there a moment when you decided or felt like, oh yeah, I belong, I've arrived?
Yeah, I mean, there was a point probably at some point in that 2018 season, but, you know, I never thought about that because I was too busy trying to go out there every day and not look back at anything. I didn't want to take anything for granted, so I was, you know, just trying to help the team win any way that I could. And, you know, I never kind of took a second to step back and reflect on it.
We're talking to Max Muncy, the Dodgers first baseman. Max, are you convinced now that first base is yours, or do you think Dave Roberts in the organization may ask you to go back and play some second base like you have in the past, or is the arrival of Gavin Lux kind of take that out of your mindset, or what's your attitude about where you'll be defensively in the coming year?
I don't really care where they put me at. You know, as long as I get to hit, that's really all that matters to me. That's all that's ever mattered to me. But, you know, I kind of hope I get to move around still. It's something I really enjoy. I love playing second. I love playing first. I love mixing it up. You know, makes each day new, and you never know what you're looking for. So, you know, hopefully they still move me around. Hopefully I'm not stuck in one spot, you know, because, like I said, to me, that's fun.
Oh, so you like to move around.
I love moving around. It's you know, it's fun. It makes each game unique. You have to worry about different things and, you know, prepare differently, and you know, it keeps it fresh, and I really enjoy it.
Last year was a bitter pill. Obviously, I was right there along with Dodger fans, you know, everywhere when it went wrong against the Nationals. You know, there's a little bit in baseball of kind of rolling the stone back up the hill, rolling the boulder back up the hill. I know that you did have a chance to get some spring training in before all this stuff went down. What was the general vibe amongst the players in terms of kind of doing all this again?
Hungry. Everyone was hungry to get back out there. You know, we know what kind of team we have, and, you know, we feel like we're just adding to it with some of the pieces that we added in the offseason, and, you know, everyone's excited. We know the last year ended way sooner than it should have, but you know, we just ran into a really good team that got hot at the right time. So we, you know, everyone was just hungry to get going, and Everyone was getting really excited. You know, we were starting to get everything ramped up, and you know, everything just hit a brick wall. But that's just the way the world works sometimes.
We're talking to Max Muncy, the Dodgers' first baseman, sometimes second baseman, as Max pointed out. He likes playing both. All right, so a lot's come out since the last time we talked to you about the Astros cheating and the Red Sox cheating, maybe, and you were on the wrong end of two World Series there. I'm curious if that is something you think about. Do you think about and use it as motivation, or do you have you moved past it completely and it doesn't even enter your head?
Well, I think all of us have done a good job of moving past it completely. You know, none of us really talked about it in spring training. You know, it's just something that we're not going to let affect us. And whether it happened, whether it didn't happen, you know, there's nothing we can do about it now. They're not going to change anything, and we don't want anything handed to us. We want to earn everything that we get. So, you know, for the most part, everyone's moved on completely from it.
From what I understand, Max Muncy's with us of the Dodgers, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. From what I understand, at some point during spring training, near the beginning of spring training, Mookie Betts got up and sort of gave a speech to the team. Can you let us know kind of what he said, what the gist of what he said was?
You know, that was for the team to hear, but it showed what kind of baseball player he is, what kind of leader he is, to stand up in front of a group of guys that he doesn't know, you know, that he hasn't been a part of. And, you know, all of us have been together for several years now, and so we're a close-knit group. And for him to come in right away and, you know, say what he did say, it was a very strong moment, and it showed exactly who he was, and it showed why he's been able to be, you know, such a good player. And, you know, it made us all really excited. And, you know, we were already excited before, but, you know, after just kind of seeing the way he went about stuff in spring training, you know, we're looking forward to getting him out there.
Max, I'm curious how you feel about this crazy pandemic and how it affects you doing your job moving forward. Are you watching these baseball games in Korea? Are you concerned about, you know, maybe playing in a situation where you're going to get tested every day and there won't be any fans? Do you think about those things, or are you just focused only on baseball?
You know, for me, I'm just focused only on baseball. Like I said earlier, this guy's a lot smarter than me that have to worry about everything else. And, you know, there's a lot of things they do have to worry about, and I hope that they are. But I can't do anything about that. I can't make a decision on it. You know, it's for those guys to make the decision. So hopefully they're more focused on the safety of everybody and making sure no one's at too serious of a risk. And, you know, hopefully it gets us baseball back sooner rather than later.
All right. Hey, listen, Max, thank you very much for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Hoping to see you guys out there really soon.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Max. Stay safe.
All right.
Think about that, Mace. So he gets cut by the A's.
Yep.
He goes home. The season starts. The Major League Baseball season starts. He's not in the league. He says, okay, I'm going to go back to Baylor. I'm going to get my degree. I assume he's going to go get like a regular job or maybe go into coaching. And all of a sudden he says, you know what? I miss it. I'll give it one more chance. And look at him now. That's, you know, I always like to think about the road not taken. You know, that'd be hard if you were a baseball player and you heard his story and you were one of those guys that could have gone either way.
Yep.
And you decided, you know what? I'm going to go do this. I always thought I would be a finance guy, or I thought I would be, I would go into some other type of industry. And
did you ever reach a point in your career where you thought about giving it up, giving this up?
So I've told you the story before. I haven't told the audience in a long time. When I was at UCLA, there were 14 of us who went into sportscasting. You know, people we all knew each other because we either worked at the campus radio station or we took all the campus TV classes together, and we were scattered all around the country. I went to Monroe, Louisiana, and Beaumont, Texas. A friend of mine went to Arkansas. Another guy went to New York, in a small town in New York. And I'm the only one left. And a lot of those guys dropped out because they just didn't want to live in the middle of nowhere. And the deal I made with myself was, I'm going to stick with it until I'm 30. I'm going to give myself my 20s. And if I can't move up in the industry by the time I'm 30, I'll drop out and get a real job. And when I was 26, I got the job in San Diego, which is when I considered myself, okay, now I've turned the corner. But all those other guys, it's somewhere along the road, all dropped out. And so it's comparable to the baseball thing. Like, you know, how long do you hang on to your dream before you go get what is in essence a job where you can make money and have a regular life? And although I still stay in touch with a lot of those guys, and a lot, I think most of them don't have a ton of regret. I mean, they didn't want to live in those small towns forever. But I was in it. I said, I'm going to give it 10 years. I just felt like that's what would have been fair. And it just worked out.
I almost quit after I finished my show in New York. I came back. I didn't go back to work right away.
What do you think you would have done?
Well, I went and got trained for yoga to become a yoga teacher. And I started teaching a bunch. And at some point I realized, you know what? This is really hard to make a living at. I was teaching 11 classes a week at one point, and I was like making absolutely nothing. So that's when I took that weekend job at Fox Sports Radio. And slowly eased my way back into it. Did Fox Sports Radio. Got fired there.
Unfairly, and, in my opinion.
Unfairly. And then went to work at the mighty 1090 down in San Diego until ultimately came here in, I think it was 2004. You and I started here and have been here ever since.
Yeah, back on La Cienega across the street from Arby's.
Right. You know what? I just noticed it's National Limerick Day, and we have not had a single limerick.
Well, have we gone to the phones? Maybe somebody left this one.
No, we haven't. There once was a man named Sliwa. Now, somebody's got to be able to finish that. Oh, there once was a man named Sliwa.
That person is going to be me. I'm going to work on that and have it ready by 6 too. O'clock.
I am also going to try. And you can also email me, venicemace@gmail.com, if you got a limerick about the show. I just noticed it's National Limerick Day. Lindsay put it on the sheet, but I didn't notice it. And you can also ring through 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, bottom of the hour at 15 minutes from now. Ramona Shelburne will join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I've got writer's block. I'm working on a Sliwa limerick, and all I've got now is there once was a man called Sliwa.
I'm almost home. I am one line away from a limerick. Yeah.
Yeah, limericks are great. Normally dirty. Like, most limericks are dirty. If you Google dirty limericks, you can go down that rabbit hole, spend some time. if you're looking for a way to kill the afternoon. By the way, Momo is coming up for you in just a couple of minutes here. But limericks are it's tough to rhyme with Sliwa. It's tough.
Okay, we'll work on it.
I guess you can work around it. You don't have to rhyme with Sliwa.
Well, I've got it.
Have it?
I it's so mean.
Well,
anyway?
Yeah. I think, you know, I had a phone call with Alan today. He called me today, and he said, you know, Mace, you can just hear him saying this, right? You know, Mace, I'm wondering how you think I'm doing.
My limerick will answer that question.
Oh, is that right? You know, Mace, I'm wondering how you think I'm doing. Slee was so serious about it. I said, loosen up, man. Listen up. Come on. You're out at night. Goof around. All right. Do you think you nailed it yet? No?
Should I do it? You want me to give you my limerick? I can write another one when he comes back on.
Yeah. Well, are they that ready for you? You're that good at writing them?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I have completely nailed it in five minutes.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yep.
There once was a man named Alan. His humor was the opposite of Jimmy Fallon. He lived all alone, just a man and his phone. A stiff eating ice cream by the gallon.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That is a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece.
Oh, that is, I want to do more.
You want to do more limericks?
I do.
More limericks.
I'm going to write another one.
They're so easy, people. We will do an entire Limerick segment after Ramona.
No, no, we should do with Sliwa.
Yeah, but I mean, people might have Limericks. People may have a good John Ireland Limerick.
Yeah, or they could put him on the voicemail.
Or they could put him on the voicemail.
Yeah, that way we don't have to weed out the bad ones. Put it on the voicemail. What's the voicemail number, Lindsay?
Oh, the voicemail number is 530-ESPN-710.
Right, there it is. Okay. And, it, you know, I think that the biggest, aside from Limericks and the one that John just nailed there about Sliwa, the big news of the day is that Arizona Governor Doug Ducey has announced that gyms, pools in Arizona can reopen tomorrow and Major League Sports can resume after tomorrow, which means if you think about this baseball plan that we've been talking about, the idea that spring training 2.0 would happen in June and then Major League Baseball would start its season in July, it makes perfect and complete sense. The Dodgers could conceivably be at Camelback Ranch in June for spring training. Now, it may mean, because the stay-at-home order hasn't been lifted in Los Angeles County, it could mean that the Dodgers would have to play their home games in Camelback Ranch. I'm just theorizing here if
and,
the stay-at-home
by the way,
order
we should,
isn't lifted.
Yeah, we should point out that if they do have to play their home games at Camelback Ranch, it's not that big of a deal. If they played at Dodger Stadium, you wouldn't be able to go to the games anyway.
Right,
no matter
exactly
where they play, it's going to be without fans. This is a TV show. We're bringing baseball back for entertainment purposes, which is, by the way, Mace, circling back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, I'm not buying any of this rhetoric from the players' union or the owners saying that, you know, we're not going to have a salary cap. What they're arguing over is how to split up the pie of the money that would come in if they play these games. I think that cooler heads will prevail. They'll get in a room. They'll realize this is too important, and they'll both look like idiots if they sit over money. I think that they're going to come to a they're going to figure out how to split up the money.
Yep.
And I think there's going to be teams like the Yankees and the Mets are going to end up playing in Florida. There's a chance the Dodgers are going to land up playing in Arizona. The Angels could play in Arizona, but Anaheim and Orange County has been a little looser on regulations
than
LA County.
They have.
So the Angels could play in Anaheim, conceivably.
But in the end, it really doesn't matter because, as you said, it's a TV show. It's for entertainment purposes. Fans aren't going to be there anyway. So it doesn't matter to us if they play in Arizona or if they play at Dodger Stadium, if they play at Angel Stadium or they play the Angels do have their spring training in Arizona, right?
They do. Tempe.
Tempe. It really doesn't matter because it's a TV show. And this isn't a bubble plan. This isn't like you can't bring your families plan. This is no, you are able to bring your families. It's not a bubble anymore. We're talking about an actual everyday life in Arizona for players and their families as they proceed with spring training. So, I mean, I'm sure every safety precaution in the world is going to be taken, and they're going to do this in the safest, and the most data guided way. But it does appear that that original plan, the spring training 2.0 in June, and a start to the Major League Baseball season in July is, seemingly on track, which is great news. Great news. Now I got to figure out, yeah, and, you know, this is sort of a side story, but, you know, I've been in the same fantasy baseball league for 30 years, and it's always been a National League only league. But now there isn't
this year you just got to mix it up. Yep.
Yeah, it'll be three 10-team divisions. And by the way, the other thing to keep in mind is the Astros are in the same division as the Dodgers. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, Momo's going to join us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, and brought to you now by First Five is Ramona Shelburne. First Five is the NBA segment sponsored by First Five. Your baby's brain doesn't require fancy toys or videos. Talking, reading, singing, they're the tools you need. Talk, read, and sing. It changes everything. To learn more, visit first5california.com. Momo, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Ramona. Hey, Ramona, did you know it was National Limerick Day?
Yeah, it's on my calendar. That popped up.
So we've all been trying to come up with limericks that have something to do with the show. And Mason, believe it or not, I didn't know it, but I appear to have a knack for this.
I guess so.
I wrote one for Sliwa in 5 minutes, and I just knocked out another one for Ramona.
Get out of here.
Okay,
all right,
let's hear it.
All right, Ramona, you can give me your letter grade on this. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know a woman named Momo. Before the virus, she was on more than Chris Cuomo. She calls Steve Ballmer a pal. She went to college at Cal. And her mistakes all end up in a promo.
That is fantastic. You have a knack for this.
You should
turn pro.
That is a fantastic limerick right there.
I had no idea I possessed this skill.
Wow.
Wow.
This is your day, man. This is your day. Every May the 12th, National Limerick Day. John Ireland, mark your calendar. I'm still struggling with my first one for Sliwa. Did you hear his Sliwa one?
No.
All right, Ramona.
Read me the
Sliwa one. I'm warning you in advance. I know up front the Sliwa one is very mean, but it's
okay.
But it's funny. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. There once was a man named Alan. His humor is opposite of Jimmy Fallon. He lives all alone, just a man at his phone, a stiff eating ice cream by the gallon.
Oh, man. Dang.
That's so funny.
That's cold.
That is
okay,
so
cold.
Good. That is so good.
And Sliwa is so sensitive, he'll hate that.
Oh, no. He'll roll with it.
Oh, no. He'll get in on it. Yeah, he'll like it.
He'll get in on it. I'm sure he's working on limericks for us right now.
So, Momo, let's talk about some things. Do you buy this story? I guess The Athletic is saying it may not be true. It has been reported by ESPN and others that the majority of the NBA players, the rank and file, received a text today saying, confidentially, your vote will be protected. Do you want to play or not? Do you think that happened?
Oh, I think they got the text. I actually know quite a bit about this. So my impression is that the text message was sent by the sort of regional directors, right? Like, you know, you have like lieutenants. And this wasn't like a sophisticated polling design, right? Like this was, you know, two guys who, work for Michelle Roberts, you know, sort of were asked to go and get, you know, just touch base with the troops, you know, touch base with guys, right? See how people are feeling. Because my impression is they had, you know, after the call on Friday, Michelle got a lot of phone calls from people. She got a lot of questions. And I think, like, there was a sort of bottom line thing, which was, look, do we want to play this or not? Are you interested in resuming or not? You know, yes or no. Now, I don't think that it was intended for anyone to send around a questionnaire. I don't think this was like some kind of like sophisticated poll. I think like it probably they should have picked up the phone and called people, right? Because you know you don't just say yes or no. I mean that's a complicated question, right? Yeah, theoretically we want to resume play, but where? In a bubble with surveillance, with no surveillance? You know, like what does that even look like? So boiling it down to a yes or no question is kind of tough. And, you know, I don't think it was ever intended to send something around. So her response, the statement that they gave out was, you know, this was unauthorized. It doesn't mean that they didn't happen. It just means that this wasn't something that Michelle Roberts and the Players Association meant to happen the way that it did. But, you know, look, what was reported, I mean, I've seen the text message that's gone around. Like, I've seen what players got. And I just think it was a case of, you know, probably somebody should have picked up the phone call instead of just sending a group text.
Right. So do you sense that, because, you know, I don't know if you heard this or not, but Arizona is kind of opening itself to professional sports mm-hmm. teams. Later on this week, which sets the stage for the idea that the Dodgers and baseball would have spring training in June, would potentially move to a start of the season in July. Do you sense that there is some sort of similar track, some sort of similar plan that's going on in terms of the NBA right now?
Yeah, I think I think the thing that's going on with the NBA, I really think that they do have a lot of scenarios, but they're smart enough to realize that anything that you put in writing or discuss seriously at this point is going to leak. And so that's why it's been kept pretty close to the vest in terms of what the specifics of their plans are. And I don't think there's one plan. I think there are four or five different versions of a plan. That's what, you know, we've seen in baseball. My impression was the players were not interested in doing the bubble. Okay, they don't like the idea of being surveilled. They don't trust each other to everybody have for everybody to be, you know, following social distancing rules. So the likelihood of a bubble was contingent on whether the players would participate. It didn't sound like they were into that. But there could be if you had enough testing. And it was rapid. I can see a path back. It just means that people have to wrap their head around the idea that, you know what, it's probable that we'll restart and, like, somewhere along the line, somebody will test positive. And then we have to decide what to do about that. Do we shut the league down again? Or do we take that person out of commission for a little while, for a couple of days, and then test everybody around them? I mean, maybe that's as simple as that. I really think the league is in a position where they have a pretty good idea of how they're going to do it or how they're going to try to do it. And I don't, you know, the home practice facilities is one idea, but like Adam Silver said on the call the other day, it is easier to just have a couple of different sites, you know? So I think it's really just about getting all the players on board.
Ramona, how encouraged should we be by the fact that this group of super friends got together, which reportedly included LeBron and Anthony Davis and Steph Curry, who plays for a team that's pretty much eliminated from the playoffs, and the united front they presented, at least at the end of this, was we all want to play.
Yeah, that is, you know, I have not reported at all or heard, you know, exactly what happened on that call or called. I think it's probably multiple calls. And I don't think it's an official thing. I just think that there's been a lot of players talk to each other. They're trying to get on the same page that, you know, everybody realize, like, sometimes you have to, like, you know, like in Congress when you're trying to pass a bill, everybody talks to each other. You have to see who's got the numbers. And I think, and this is my opinion, okay, but it's something I've talked about with agents and other players who are involved in this. I think the fact that you have the leaders of the league, and by that I mean LeBron James, okay, you know, at the forefront of this, wanting to return, advocating to return, trying to get people on board for a return, I think it is a really good sign, because not just for the peer pressure of it, but just for understanding what's at stake financially and for the league. I mean, you could actually, if you wanted to, and if this was a persuasive argument to people, you could actually make an argument about, you know, just this is that people need the sports to return just for diversion, that the country or the population needs that, right? Like, I think there's that argument, you know, that you're giving people something to watch and get into and bond over. There's another argument about just flat out, like, the health of the league, and it's bigger than about how much money you make and what this means. Like, you got to figure out a way to do this. I think all of those types of things and those type of conversations are happening right now. I think that's what people, players talk about, agents talk about, and just wrapping your head around the idea of, are we going to give this a shot? And if so, you know, what's the safest way to do that? You guys saw the Jared Dudley tweet, right?
I did. Well, go ahead and explain it, Ramona, because he's been tweeting a lot over the last couple of days.
Yeah, well, he actually retweeted Woj this morning when Woj reported on the text messages that went around, you know, from the two people at the union. And he basically was saying, like, it's not just about, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's not just summarizing him, about whether this is my team or your team, or my team's in the playoffs and your team isn't. It's bigger than the game. And I don't know if people understand the financial issues involved here for us resuming the season and next season. Like, you know, most people that I talk to feel like, okay, if this season got canceled, if they never resumed, you know, the league would survive it, okay? But if next season either got canceled or was substantially altered, I'm not sure what happens. Like, I don't know how the league survives that or gets past it. And I think that that's what players right now are trying to wrap their heads around and also, you know, process in terms of how could they return in any shape or form.
Do you think that Silver, the powers that be, the league, has in mind sort of a drop-dead date? In other words, affecting the calendar for next year? Because there's this idea that conceivably maybe the league in the future would start on Christmas Day. And again, that's been floating out there. At least a couple of owners are behind that idea. Do you think there's a drop-dead date for completing this season?
I think Adam Silver is smart enough not to tell anybody if there's a drop-dead date. You know what I mean? Like, if he were, maybe he tells, you know, one of his closest friends or something, but I don't think that's something that he goes around and tells to the Board of Governors or to Michelle Roberts, the players, or anything like that. Because if you put that date out there, that's all anybody will talk about. And Adam has been remarkably, really disciplined in the way that he's talked about things. Like, from what, you know, I have heard what people have, from what he has said to people, from what he said on that call, the impression I have is like, they, you know, this is a direct quote from that call, you know, time is on our side. Okay. Like, they believe that they can take all of May, even into June, before making a decision. There's a lot of different ways they can resume a season if they do. Could be all the regular season games and playoffs. It could be, let's just have a play-in tournament. Could be in a bridge playoffs. Like, they think they have time, Steve. Like, I, you know, what they do need to know, though, is if the answer is no, if, you know, a lot of players don't want to play, if they don't think they can ever get to a consensus or, you know, a majority or plurality or whatever it is, they do need to know that they need to know that now, because it affects the planning for next year too. And next year, to be quite honest, I think is the one that worries people the most.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, this is a, you know, you've gotten a lot of revenue for this year, right? Already, like, you were almost done with the regular season here. You already made a lot of your money. And it's a disruption, but it's not nothing. But if you also then have a second year where you have zero income, right? And you're not playing for, you're not making your gate receipts, you're not making the money from regional sports networks, you're not, like, all the other ancillary income, like, it's going to be really hard for the league and for teams to continue to pay the players as they do, to keep the collective bargaining agreement as they have it open. You know, they just extended, okay, we're going to make a decision on the current CBA. We'll make that 60 days from now. But we need to know within 60 days whether we're going to, like, cancel the CBA. Nobody right. wants to cancel the CBA. That's a dire thing to do. You know, and then it would mean that you have to have a whole other collective bargaining agreement before you even go back to play again. That's like a lockout. So nobody wants to get to that stage at all. Everything should be collectively bargained right now. Everybody needs to get on the same page. And I don't know how possible that is with, you know, the number of players that you have. But, Steve, to your question earlier, when you have influential players like LeBron, Chris Paul, Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, when you have names like that, you know, getting together on something, I think that creates a pretty powerful force. So I see that as an optimistic note.
All right. Let's take a minute and talk about where baby Daniel is right now.
Okay. Yeah. Daniel is in a good place most of the time.
Yeah.
But we're still fighting our naps. Okay. We're still fighting our naps. And it's wearing Evan and I out, quite frankly, which is, like, one of the things that I think is important.
It doesn't last, Ramona. This too shall pass.
It's a stage, right? Everything's a stage. So that part where, like, you feel like, oh, my gosh, is the baby ever going to sleep? Right? Like, it's really hard. You don't want to let it, you know, you don't want to cry it out. You have to just say, this is just the stage. Couple of weeks. We just got to get through this. Fall back on the sleep training basics. And I think it's, like, really important to remember that, like, when, you know, like, not all parenting is like, okay, there's a quick fix for all that, right? Like, you're in the middle of it and you have to just get through it, and you have to, like, be supportive of each other and be supportive of everything. And so, like today, I'm not, it was like an hour and a half he was awful. I tried to get him down. He was crying. We go in there every 10 minutes. You know, finally, we just kind of gave up, and I just kind of would, like, hold him. We just did, like, quiet time in the dark, so I would sing a lot of, like, quiet songs, right? We read a little bit, and then we just called it a day. We're like, he's just not going to nap. And all we did was just try to get him to rest a little bit in the quiet time. But I think that's, like, you know, that's all my mom friends, and this is like, you know, you call everyone at that time. You just say, like, okay, what do you do? How do you get through? Like, everybody's got all these different ideas. But the big resounding message that we always have is just like, stay calm, you know, try to sing to them a little bit. Don't let them see sweat, right? Because if you
read them a limerick,
you get upset.
Try reading them a limerick. It's National Limerick Day.
There once was a baby named Daniel who What's that?
No, I'm just starting you off. There once was a baby named Daniel.
Yep. Who used to nap like a champion. But then one day he started to cry and needed another companion. Okay.
I think workshop this a little bit. Let's workshop it a little
bit. Yeah, Don, you're the one who's good at this.
I've written two more since you've been talking.
Get out of here. Wow. You're just sitting there writing limericks?
I am. They're all coming to me. I have this Michael.
I am terrible at this.
Do they all start with "there once was a person named whatever"?
No. Is that you want to hear them?
Let's go.
I'm going to get in trouble for all these. All right. I wrote one for Keyshawn, and I wrote one for Mason.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I'll do the Keyshawn one first. Okay. We have a morning show host named Key. He starred in football at USC. In the media, he is not. He complains quite a lot. On his own show, he says he will flee.
Oh man, John, this is like this hidden talent that you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, this is your day.
Okay. This one is.
Oh gosh, I'm nervous.
No. This one's about Mason. It's not.
It's not
as good as the Sliwa one, but it's still good. It's better than the thing you just did. All right. Here we go.
Oh yeah. I know. I can't. Yeah.
Okay. My partner on this show is Steve. Some think his hair is a weave. He wears large suits on his site, smokes weed at night, and even now there are days he will leave.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's totally true.
All of that is good. All of that's right on the money.
Yeah, who knew?
It's funny because it's true.
I had a hidden limerick talent.
Such a gift. By the way, somebody pointed out that the suit I'm wearing on my website on stevemason.com looks like a Michael Jordan suit.
It does. That's true. Those suits were in, but maybe you want to update your picture from 1998.
It's totally true. I definitely
could use that. You know what? I don't think you need to update anything. I think that's always fun when people have obviously old photos, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Mace, those suits may come back in style.
Like the Daily News. I'm like 26 in that photo. I just leave it there forever. Every credential.
Mesa, if you, like a lot of people do this, if you just wait out the fashion trends, those suits may come back and stuff.
Oh, eventually they'll come back around. That's a really good point. And I'll still look young.
Yeah.
All right. Momo, thank you very much. I want to remind people that Ramona is brought to you by First Five. Your baby's brain doesn't require fancy toys or videos, talking, reading, singing. The tools that you need, talk, read, sing, it changes everything. To learn more, visit firstfivecalifornia.com. All right. Momo, we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Hope
you guys are good.
Cool. All right. See you.
Coming up next, we're going to give away a copy of MLB The Show.
Yeah.
For PS4. 877-710-ESPN. Line me up five callers, Lindsay, five callers to play a really simple game that is ungooglable. Ungooglable. 877-710-ESPN. Yeah, I like that one. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, rolling on with Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN, 5 o'clock Fast Track is coming up for you. Got a copy of MLB The Show for PS4 that we're going to give away right now. And I think we've got five callers lined up, yeah?
Yeah. All right. Do you want to explain the game or do you want me to bring on a caller first?
Very easy. It's closest without going over. Go ahead and bring somebody on and I'll give the category.
All right. This is Oscar in Banning. Oscar, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
What's up, guys?
All right, here we go,
Oscar. Here it is. Reggie Jackson is the all-time Major League Baseball career leader in strikeouts. How many strikeouts did he have closest without going over?
In his career?
In his career.
All right, how many, Oscar?
Let's go with 1,200.
All right, put him on hold, Funch, and go to Bob in Walnut. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, good, good. All right, let's see. Let's go with 1,201.
Okay. 1,201. Higher. I put him on hold and go to Dan in Las Vegas. Hey, Dan.
What's up, guys? How's it
You're
going
on ESPN 710. How many strikeouts for Reggie Jackson in his career, Dan?
Let's go 1,500.
Okay, good guess. Put him on hold and put Anthony from Valencia up. Hey, Anthony.
What's up, guys? I'm going to go 1,100 even.
1,100 even. Okay, put him on hold. And then Steve in Orange County is the last guy. Hey, Steve, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, let's do 1,200.
Somebody else did 1,200. You got to go higher or lower, whatever you want.
Let's go 1,500.
Somebody said that too.
1,700.
All right, man. Okay, Mace, we've got guesses ranging from 1,100 to 1,700. What's the right answer?
Well, that last guy who guessed two numbers that had already been picked, 1,700 is the winner. He struck out. You guys all think Reggie Jackson is better than he was. 2,597 times in his career. 2,597 times in his career. All-time record for most strikeouts in a career, meaning that that last guy, what was his name?
Steve in Orange County.
Steve in Orange County is the winner.
That's right, baby.
See, Steve, sometimes it helps when you get three cracks at it. You know, the first two were lost.
I'll take it. Three strikes, you're out, baby.
In this game, that's actually the name of the game. All right, man, enjoy that. Thanks for calling in.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man. And by the way, we had our draft for MLB The Show. We're doing our little round-robin tournament, me versus Ireland versus George Sedano to the death. We chose all-time Dodger teams. It looks to me like John is a slight favorite to win it all. I think I'm the second pick, and I think George is probably the third pick, but who knows?
Right.
I
was in the Laker thing, yeah, you were the universal third pick, and you destroyed everyone.
Yeah, so who knows?
Well, I should say Shaq destroyed everyone, but you picked Shaq. So,
yes.
You know. Correct. Now, Lindsay, do we need to break or do we roll right into Fast Track?
Well, we are going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll go right to Fast Track.
All right, cool.
Okay. 5 o'clock Fast Track coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.